The Nick DiGiulio Show continues here on 720 WGN. It is officially a Monday morning now, so my dad's going to call in and tell a joke because we do that on Monday mornings. We'll also visit with Steve Procopi and Eric Childress. They are at the Sundance Film Festival, so we'll have a live report from those guys covering that film festival and review some of the new movies. But right now, we would like to welcome to the show Marnie Shore, who is editor-in-chief at The Takeout. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
The last time we were here, we tasted a bunch of hot chocolate.
Yeah, maybe like 10 different brands.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun, too. So we're going to do like an oat milk taste test.
That's right.
Tell everybody about The Takeout, Marnie.
The Takeout is, you can find it at thetakeout.com. It's a website all about food, and our tagline is just, food is delicious. And so we try to celebrate the home cooking with a lot of recipes. And we also try to celebrate foods of both, you know, high and quote, low quality. We love fast food at The Takeout. We love store-bought snacks. We just did a ranking of 35 different flavors of Hot Pocket. We're dedicated to what we do and it's fun.
Wait a minute. Let's talk about the Hot Pockets.
Our staff writer, Allison Robicelli, was very dedicated, and she ate 35 Hot Pockets over the course of 4 days.
Oh, my God.
With help from her kids, but mostly just by herself. And she ranked them all and gave very thoughtful analysis of each different variety.
I wasn't even aware that there were 35 different Hot Pockets?
There's even more if you count Lean Pockets, which is like the low-fat variety.
Yeah.
And it's really an endless combination of crusts and fillings.
Yeah. I don't know why. I always just think ham and cheese. That's the first one that pops into my head when I think Hot Pockets. It's always the ham and cheese.
The original.
Ham and cheese. Yeah.
Yep.
But there are 35.
There's definitely more than the ones that she tasted, but she bought whatever all the local groceries in Baltimore could offer, and none of the grocery store employees thought it was very advisable of her to do.
And so how is she feeling now after eating 35 Hot Pockets in a few days?
She's feeling better than when she was in the midst of eating them.
Yeah.
But she likes to say that she dedicated her body to The Takeout, and it's come away with some really good analysis, and now people know what kind of Hot Pockets to buy.
What kind did she like the most?
Oh, what did she like the most? Well, ham and cheese ranked pretty high up there.
Yeah.
But it did not compete with the pretzel crust jalapeno cheese stuffed Hot Pocket.
What?
I think it sounds pretty good.
It does sound good. I just didn't know that these exist. I was not aware of the unbelievable amount of variety of Hot Pockets.
Someone in the R&D department over there is getting really clever.
Wow. That's really amazing. All right, so there's another thing you can check out at The Takeout, a deep analysis of Hot Pockets.
That's right.
We've got more here to talk about. Before we do, I just want to mention really quickly. I'm going to wrap this up here with the Grammy talk.
Yeah.
We were talking about the Grammys here.
Mm-hmm.
262. Hey, I don't know, Nick. I'm 57. I thought the show was a train wreck. My 21-year-old daughter was watching it, and she was rolling her eyes a few times, and I was actually getting irritated, especially by Aerosmith and Run DMC. 630, Demi Lovato's voice is incredible tonight. It was so raw and full of emotion. Enjoyed her performance. Saw her 4 years ago with my son for his 21st birthday and was totally impressed by her beautiful voice. It was a sad day with the loss of Kobe and his daughter and other families. It took me back to the tragedy of Stevie Ray Vaughan, helicopter crash. 519... says Ariana Grande had a very sexy music number. That was the opinion from me. So I don't. I don't know. I didn't see Ariana Grande. Did you see how much of the Grammy? Did you watch any of the Grammys?
I watched zero of the Grammys. So I kind of find I learn about it as it trickles into Twitter. That's kind
right.
of my way of experiencing them.
Yeah. Like I was saying before, I mean, I do feel old when I watch the Grammys. Because
100%.
I watch it and I'm like, I don't know who that is. I don't know what this song is.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. I mean, I know who Billie Eilish is.
I know these names.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that if I heard all their music, I'd really like it. I just, you know.
All right. So, Marnie, let's talk a little bit about some of the stuff that you guys have been writing about on The Takeout.
Let's do it.
And the Reynolds Wrap Hunger Harness Returns for Your Super Bowl Snacking Needs. Tell us about that.
That is a very clever promotion on the part of Reynolds Wrap. You know, they make foil and press and seal and all that stuff. But they released this this hunger harness for the second year. It's a Super Bowl promotion, and I think it's only $3.99.
Okay.
It is a sort of Mylar baby Bjorn type strap on appliance. Well, what would you call it? A harness, and it holds your snacks and your drinks for the Super Bowl, and it keeps your wings hot, and it keeps your drinks cold, and it has a straw and several other accoutrements attached to it that's very elaborate, and you can kind of just sit there with all your snacks and not have to move from the game, so they're all right in front of you, like a little caddy.
Wow. It's all at $4.99, by the way.
Oh, $4.99.
Yeah, it's the same price as the Reynolds Wrap Foil. So it's the Reynolds Hunger Harness.
Yes, and it's got new features this year. Last year, it was pretty much just the pouch for the wings and the drink. And this year, it has a few more bits and bobs attached to it.
Uh-huh. Tom, have you seen this thing?
Yes, and it's everything I ever could have wanted out of a snack carrier that I can, you know, we're basically maybe a few years away from the feed bag.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, that's what's next, right? I mean,
well, if you do boneless, you know, if you throw the boneless wings in there, you could just easily just shove your head in there and just kind of munch away, get lost in the sauce, and you know, sip on your Diet Coke on the side.
Now, is it made out of foil?
It looks that way. It might be more like of that. It kind of looks like the sorts of stuff that they deliver pizzas in to keep those warm.
Okay.
But it looks Mylar-ish on the outside. It's very shiny. And some of our commenters noted that they had been able to grab one before they sold out, and they were very excited.
Oh, it's sold out already.
They've been bringing them back, and they've been selling out, and so it's worth checking the website each day before the Super Bowl to find out.
Well, the game is next week.
Yeah.
The game's a week from Sunday. So, you know, you might want to check into this and see if you can get to. So is it to the point now where it's just like, it's almost like WALL-E now. Do you know what I mean?
Where you're all sitting in the chairs.
Yeah. I mean, it's just...
I, for one, embrace our new feeding situation. The more I can be treated like a cattle, the better.
Yeah.
Because I think.
You've seen WALL-E, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's happening, man. That's what we're turning into.
Well, we talked about those S-pods. You know, you can get the Segway S-pods where you just kind of lay in it.
Yeah.
And you just move forward with a little bit of forward propulsion. So get in your S-pod, strap on the hunger harness, and you're pretty much set to go anywhere.
All right. So do people, you know, I don't know. You know, the Super Bowl's never been a really big thing to me. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big football guy. I watch it because it's the Super Bowl, and I also watch it mostly because of the commercials. That's the main reason I watch it. But I've never felt the need. I've been to Super Bowl parties in the past. I've never felt the need for something for something like this.
No, and, you know, I think that it's the perfect era right now where it's very Instagrammable to have something like that you're wearing eating from. But, you know, Reynolds Wrap seems to be doing this all with a bit of a tongue-in-cheek tone. But maybe over the years, it'll just become less and less tongue-in-cheek and more of a necessity for the American household.
I'm telling you, I'm not kidding when I'm picturing WALL-E right now. And and just the big fat people sitting in the chair and everything. So, all right, the hunger harness is here. Well, you're going to have to look to see if it's available.
That's right.
I'm sure it's selling out like crazy. Marty Scher is with us, editor-in-chief of The Takeout, 312-981-7200. We are going to do an oat milk taste test, which you guys did over at The Takeout.
We did.
Okay, we'll cover that more here on 720 WGN. Don't you tell me you're full, just eat it, eat it, eat it. Get yourself an egg and beat it. Have some more chicken, have some more pie. All right. The Nick DeGiulio Show continues right here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here until 4 a.m. Steve Procopi and Eric Childress will be joining us live from the Sundance Film Festival to give us a report on that and review some new movies. And my dad's going to call in and tell a joke. We've got much more coming up, 312-981-7200. Joining me right now is Marnie Scher, editor-in-chief of The Takeout.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
And we are here, and so we were talking about the Reynolds Wrap Hunger Harness.
Yes, we were.
So there's a lot of other stories to talk about here that you guys have been writing about at the Takeout. How many people work at the Takeout?
Full-time staff is just three of us at the moment,
mm-hmm.
but we work with a dedicated team of freelancers as well.
Great. Okay, so the oat milk thing. How did that start?
Well, we had been talking about oat milk for a while because in the Midwest, it seems like it started trickling into cafes, and then suddenly you saw more and more brands popping up at the grocery store. And so we thought, you know, for a product that this new, you know, oat milk was only invented in the early 90s, it's a relatively new product, and we want to make sure that we know which one to buy because there's more and more brands every day.
Mm-hmm.
So associate editor Amy Levitt went to the store, bought up every brand, and did a pretty definitive taste test.
Okay. And what is oat milk?
Well, it's the blended oats. You can actually make it at home pretty easily, but you know, who wants to go to the trouble? But it's oats soaked for their that rich nutty flavor that comes off of them, and then you blend some oats into it. Sometimes you add in the case of lots of brands, a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
Which helps with the flavor. And you know, oats kind of have that nice bulk to them in a way that maybe like almond milk, soy milk don't always.
Yeah.
So that's nice too.
Okay. All right. Now, I've never tried oat milk.
Oh, never?
No. I've never tried it. I'm a traditionalist. For people who listen to this show on a regular basis, I drink a lot of milk. And it's, you know, regular whole milk. And that's the kind of, and I drink it a lot. I drink it like with every meal and, you know.
Nothing can replace real milk, that's for sure. Like
yeah.
The flavor is just something in its own category.
Oh, yeah. No. And Tom still doesn't think, you think I'm nuts because of the consumption of the milk that I have.
Well, it's just heroic compared, you know, you're drinking whole milk.
Yeah, man.
I don't know a lot of people that drink whole milk, maybe in their coffee or something. But like just a glass of whole milk?
Yeah, the other stuff is dishwater.
Yeah, my doctor told me I can't have that. I have to drink the dishwater if I'm going to drink milk. He's like, you're beefy enough. You can just lay off the whole milk there, chief.
Yeah. No, it's whole milk, man. I just I don't know. I don't know why. I just love it. So, what are we tasting here? What's the deal here?
So what I've got here is that I took one of the brands of oat milk recommended by the Takeout in their oat milk test, and I've put two glasses of different types of milk and one glass of oat milk, and we're going to see, one, if you can tell the difference, and two, what you feel the difference is, and finally, is it worth trying out oat milk? Would you ever try to drink oat milk instead of dairy milk?
Okay. All right, there are three cups in front of us, and I'm not allowed to look, right? Because I'll be able to visually tell what's what.
Yes.
Okay. And so, what are we again? It'll be like
so. There's one glass of whole milk.
Okay.
There's one glass of skim fat-free milk.
Okay.
And there's one glass of oat milk, and that brand is Silk Oat. Yeah. Oat milk.
What?
Yeah. Oat. Yeah.
I guess it's a pun.
Okay. Oh, I see that. Okay, yeah.
Oat, yeah.
So, all right. Well, let's do a little taste test here.
All right.
All right. And I'll start out first. And all right, I know what that is.
I believe I know what that is too.
Yep.
Is that the whole milk?
That's whole milk.
That is the whole milk.
Yeah. And I'm going to finish that.
Well, you can say I don't drink whole milk, so you can take the rest of that little bottle home with you. That can be your milk throughout the rest of the show.
Oh, no, I got a gallon at home. Don't worry about it. All right, so that's the whole milk.
Yeah.
And that's not, you know.
That's just milk.
Do you ever drink whole milk?
So I do put it in my coffee. You know what I've started doing is buying the grass-fed milk because the 2% version of that tastes as good as the whole milk version of some of the other milks. So it's something about the grass-fed cows. It's just delicious.
Is that right?
Yeah, the 2% isn't as thin as you would expect it to be.
Okay.
So that's what I've been going with.
Okay. All right, well, so that's whole milk. We got another cup here.
Mm-hmm.
Is this oat milk?
I think this is the
2%?
Percent.
Oh, that's a skim.
Or the skim.
Yeah, that is the skim.
Yep.
Okay.
And, you know, because it tastes just like the first one, but just diluted. You know, it's just a diluted version of that really creamy milk flavor that you can't get anywhere else.
Right.
I'm not entirely certain how skim milk is made skim from regular
milk. Do we know how they do it?
It's a secret process.
I don't know how they do it, but I think that should be an upcoming article on thetakeout.com.
There you go. Look at that. All right. Okay, so then obviously this last one is going to be the oat milk.
So yep. This is the moment of truth.
And Oh, man. I'm looking. I'm not supposed to look at it, but I'm looking at it.
It's too late, yeah.
Okay, here we go. No.
You look very disappointed.
No.
You know, it has a thickness to it.
Yeah.
That is like trying to replicate whole milk.
Yeah.
But there's almost, it's almost less sweet than natural milk in a weird way.
It is.
You'd think that with added sugar, it wouldn't be that way.
Now, the brands that she checked out, She's got Trader Joe's non-dairy oat beverage.
They're not allowed to call it milk all the time.
No. The name should have been a clue. Beverage is a vague and wishy-washy term, and this is a vague and wishy-washy oat milk. In texture, it's thin and watery. Poured into a glass, it's clear around the edges. It has a mild sweetness and a definite oat flavor, but no body whatsoever. It's the skim of oat milks. Okay, that's not the one we tried. We tried the Silk Oat, yeah.
We did.
This one is quite similar to the Khalifa Farms in texture. The difference is that the oat flavor is less earthy and more toasted. So yes, it tastes like there is human intervention. These two are for the people who drink 2% milk.
That feels accurate.
I like it. I think this is really good.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is pretty nice.
I think I'd put it on cereal or in coffee. Maybe not just drinking it straight though.
Yeah. I gotta go with a dairy product here.
Mm-hmm.
The Farm's unsweetened oat milk, the Khalifa, is that how you pronounce it?
Khalifa, maybe?
Khalifa. Farm's unsweetened oat milk. They were not kidding about the unsweetened part. This oat milk definitely tastes like it's good for you. Or if you want to be fancy about it, you can describe it as earthy. It's thicker and creamier than the Trader Joe's beverage. More like actual milk. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? Oatly full fat oat milk. What? Oatly full fat oat milk. The original great granddaddy of the oat milks. I will agree that the name is not great and the packaging is obnoxiously self-consciously self-referential. And about as twee as you might expect oat milk to be, the slogan is wow, no cow.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody deserves a medal for that one. I like that.
The nutrition facts panel has the header, the boring but very important side. Its origin story is retold in the smuggest way possible. Dairy companies are starting to make their own oat milk. What do you think about this? Can you see our hands clapping? Finally, milk dudes, what took you so long? But the product, however, is the very best oat milk at the grocery store. It's thick and full-bodied, like full-fat dairy. Leaves that pleasant milky residue behind in your mouth and has a definite no-nonsense oat flavor. Okay.
Now, what I will say about the oat milk in front of us is that it smells delightful. It smells like a bowl of Honey Nut Cheerios.
It does, yeah. I mean, it does smell well. It does smell good. It doesn't look very appetizing.
No. It's got a yellowish tinge to it.
Yeah. It's not a pleasant-looking beverage. Yeah, I got to stick with the cow, man.
It's hard to replicate that.
Yeah, it's impossible, I think. Now you like this oat milk stuff?
This is the first time I've had oat milk, and I don't typically have dairy in the house except for coffee and various other things.
Yeah.
I use almond milk typically for my cereal or smoothies and stuff like that. But honestly, I might switch to the oat. I kind of enjoy the flavor of that.
Is there a problem? Do you have like, are you lactose intolerant?
It's weird. I've found myself becoming somewhat lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't understand the anti-dairy vibe here.
I'll have milk, and then I'll feel sick afterwards. Like, I feel I'm not throwing up or anything serious. I just feel sluggish. I feel weird. And I just don't like the feeling I have after I drink milk or have too much milk in cereal or coffee. So I started substituting it with almond, or even like they have almond coconut, which is really good. And I started feeling better. I don't know.
Now, Marty, what about you? Do you have dairy in the house?
I do. I always love having grass-fed milk in the house.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more expensive, but there's just it's so good that you just want to drink a glass of it plain, which I grew up with skim, so I never knew that milk could be this good. So I'm having kind of a milk renaissance in my house
right now. I bet. No, it's weird, too, because there is a... there's a huge difference between like skim and whole.
Totally.
I mean, it's a completely different thing. And, you know, my ex-wife, grew up on the 2% of the skim,
mm-hmm.
and then I would bring whole milk, and she'd like, that's like cream. You know what I mean? Like she'd look at the texture of it and go, wow, how can you drink that?
That's right. I'm gonna cut it with a knife.
I mean, yeah. And I would always say that the other stuff looked like dishwater. I don't know.
Oh yeah, it poured blue out of that bottle. You know,
yeah.
It was so thin.
Yeah. So, all right, Marnie, hang on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's the Nick DiGilio Show continuing here, 312-981-7200. The oat milk taste test, I'm sticking with dairy. That's it. All right, 312-981-7200, it's 720 WGN.
Guys are mad smart, some guys are tough dudes, but me and my homies, we mostly care about food. Got spots to peruse and never choosing McDonald's. I'm talking now, cheese steaks, Dino's and Tano's. Tommy's on Pico, high life in Pasadena, man, and lucky boy too, and I can't forget.
Nick DiGilio Show continues here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Skyline Studio here until 4 a.m. on this Monday morning. Marnie Shore is here. She's the editor-in-chief at The Takeout.
Hello.
And people can check out thetakeout.com.
Thetakeout.com.
There it is. All right. We have a few more stories to talk about here. We covered the oat milk scene.
Yes, we did, including the 2% and whole milk scene.
That's right. And I still prefer the whole milk. All right. Let's talk a little bit about a Brooklyn man registers beer as emotional support animal. What?
That is correct.
What is this story?
You have to give this guy points for cleverness. Basically, you know, you can register an animal as your emotional support animal,
yes.
A pet, a dog. He registered a particular ale as his support animal. I guess the argument being that yeast in beer is a living thing, and so it can be a living support creature. And for a while, he was successful at this. It was registered as his support animal. And then once the story started gaining attention, that designation was revoked.
I see. So, but people will just they'll do anything.
That's right.
They'll just do anything. So registering beer as a support animal.
Points for trying.
Yeah. Texts have come in. 312 says, what is oat milk? You can actually make it at home. No wonder Orion is losing his mind. Orion Samuelson is a legend here at the radio station, and does not support any alternative milks of any kind except for, you know, straight from the cow.
Mm-hmm.
So he would not be thrilled. 312 says Orion loves Nick lactose free milk. For me, it beats regular milk. Lactose free,
so it's still milk, but just the lactose is removed.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, people. I mean, it's a serious situation. I mean, that's a serious condition. You know, you being lactose intolerant, it could be really painful and not pleasant. 412 says, try Fairlife milk, regular skim and chocolates, owned by Coca-Cola. They filter the milk. It's the best milk ever.
Hmm.
Never tried that before.
I've never tried that either.
Fairlife milk, recommended by some of our listeners. Okay. The Salty Waitress.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
The Salty Waitress is our advice column at The Takeout.
Mm-hmm.
It is written by a salty waitress who gives her advice on dining etiquette and other sorts of situations that occur when you're in restaurants and bars. And she writes for us twice a week. And it's full of all sorts of interesting questions from readers about, you know, times you've been in a restaurant and don't quite know what to do in a certain scenario.
Yeah.
Because restaurants are sort of a social experiment sometimes, aren't they?
Yeah.
So she covers a wide range of topics. One of the biggest ones that we've had recently that everybody had an opinion on was a man was buying a $240 pour of scotch, and he didn't want to tip 20% on it because he said it's a $240 glass, but it took the same effort to pour that as it would have, you know, a $10 scotch.
Yeah.
So do I have to tip 20%? But the salty waitress said, you do have to tip 20% because that's the type of environment you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the server still has to split that tip with the bartender, the bar back. And by the time it comes down to it, 20% is just going to be the more appropriate amount. So if you don't want to pay the big tip, maybe buy a slightly cheaper scotch and then factor the tip into the total.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think people, you know, some people don't realize, you know, what you just said is that you have to tip out.
Yeah,
you know, you got to split your tip with the bartender and all that stuff. And I don't think a lot of people who've not worked in the service industry realize that.
Right. It's a smaller slice of the pie, ultimately, than you think it is when you're handing it over to your server.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom, did you waited tables, right?
Well, I was a barback.
Oh, barback.
I was a barback at a steakhouse downtown here. And that's very, very true. And it's a steakhouse, so usually the drinks are very expensive, but they're giving you a heavy pour. Like, they don't have the pour tops on there. So you're paying a lot of money. Typically the clientele was much wealthier. I met Charles Barkley. He came in one time. The entire...
Was that terrible?
No, he was great. No,
I love Charles Barkley. I think he's great.
He's got a great policy too. As long as he's standing up, he'll talk to you and he'll give you an autograph. But regardless, everybody tipped out appropriately. And, well, you're doing a lot of work.
I don't think some people I guess don't realize that, you know, like that's part of the, you know, part of the tipping is what you do is you have to tip out and you know.
I got a percentage of what the bartenders made because I didn't make your drinks, but I was doing all the legwork, so I have to get a percentage of that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever worked in the service industry?
I have not, but I gain so much more of an appreciation for it reading a column like The Salty Waitress because it makes you think about, like Tom was saying, like all the different stuff that's involved and at every level of the, you know, what you see on the floor, the dining floor is such a small part of what's happening in a restaurant. And it's so many people working so hard to get you your experience. So I have every admiration for it.
Yeah. I never waited tables, but I bartended for, you know, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, it's the same kind of thing. But I never did wait tables. But as a result of being a bartender for the years that I was a bartender, I tip heavily. I'm an over tipper.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the way it is, you know. I remember, you know, like leaving a pretty large tip at a restaurant, and like one of my ex-wives was like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm tipping." And so, but I always overtip.
Must love when you come through the door. Then,
well, it's just that it's, you know, having worked in the service industry and having to deal with, you know, some of the stuff that I've dealt with and being stiffed myself.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know. 224 says, "I am enjoying your guest very much." Oh.
Aww.
Has she tested the non-dairy creamers yet? Have you guys tried non-dairy creamers?
The non-dairy creamers? No. I have been a big Coffee Mate person in my day. Before I started using plain milk in my coffee, I definitely had, you know, the hazelnut, the French vanilla, very much some of my favorites. But that's a great taste test idea. We should definitely do that.
Yeah, the non-dairy creamers, sure. Yeah. 224 says, your producer reminded me of the movie Alien Nation, where the aliens would get drunk from buttermilk. Yeah, the aliens would get loaded on drinking milk, right?
I guess I'm getting loaded on oats.
Yeah.
I guess I feel weird, man.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with you, man.
There's something in the milk.
But the Salty Waitress, the latest one, is the asks the question, is it okay to snatch cutlery from unattended tables?
We've all done it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it seemed like a good, apt question. And Salty's response was, you know, ideally you won't take that stuff from other tables, just because, you know, then you're leaving somebody else without what they need. But if you do, just make sure to tell your server the next time they come around to check on you, when they see how everything's going, just mention that you took it and then they can replace it on their own time. But then your meal's not going cold while you wait for a new, you know, silverware roll.
Right. Right. No, that makes sense. I've done it, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've taken...
Oh, yeah.
I've never done that once in my entire life.
Not
if
once.
You don't have cutlery in front of you, but the table next to you does, you're not going to reach it. Why?
Nope. Because I'm not supposed to take it. It's not mine. It's the same thing with ketchup, any sort of condiments, salt, pepper. I just wait until someone comes around. I'll ask for a fresh one. And then sometimes, ironically, they'll just take it off the
table.
Right,
they'll take it off the table.
But it's their, you know, this is their workplace. So if they're going to take it from there, that's fine. That's on them. That's their choice. If somebody says, where's my salt shaker? Sorry, man, the waiter or waitress gave it to me. But I'm going to let them handle that. I'm not going to decide that that's my salt shaker.
Wow. Now.
That's the most Midwest level of deference I've ever heard. And I love it.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. No, I've done it. I've taken silverware. I've taken ketchup.
You know. Shame on you.
Shame on you. If I don't have it, I've said, well, it's right there. It's
exactly.
2 feet away.
No one wants your meal getting cold. So
yeah. Exactly. All right. Salty Waitress twice a week?
Twice a week. Typically Tuesdays and Fridays you can catch her column, and it always teaches me something new.
Okay. And you can check that out at thetakeout.com. All right. What's going on here? Bon Jovi.
You know, everything I hear about this guy just sounds great. And he occasionally comes into the Takeouts coverage because he does own JBJ Soul Kitchen, his restaurant, and he just opened a pay what you can model restaurant at Rutgers. And basically, this is funded by his charitable organization.
Mm-hmm.
And they state different prices that they request that you pay, but if you're unable to pay them, you still get to eat your meal.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a pretty liberal way to treat customers. You know, it's like a liberal service model, and it sounds like it's working. You know, if he's able to expand this restaurant concept into Rutgers, it must be evening out, or he's just backing it with his several millions of dollars. But either way, it's a nice gesture.
It is a nice gesture. I didn't know that he was into. I didn't know that Bon Jovi was into this. I didn't know he was a restaurateur.
Yeah, he's kind of. An entrepreneur and a philanthropist all in one.
Wow. All right.
And a singer occasionally.
Yeah. Occasionally he sings and he has some hair.
Has to be careful with that bottom line, though. He really has to, because otherwise he's going to be living on a prayer.
Hoping that restaurant
stays open.
With this newest restaurant, he's halfway there.
Oh, God. You guys, what are you?
We're full of oat milk.
Oh, yeah, no, there's something in this oat milk. I'm feeling frisky.
Oh. You know who will be thrilled with this story to learn more positive things about John Bon Jovi? Our morning drive traffic woman is the great Mary Vandeville. Loves Bon Jovi. Loves him.
Excellent taste.
I used to mock her all the time when I would see her in the morning. We would talk about Bon Jovi, but she would love this story.
No, he just seems wonderful.
Yeah, he does. Seems like I had no idea that he was into that.
Yeah, who knew?
Yeah. Okay. Hang on a second. It's the Nick DeGiulio Show here on 720 WGN. It continues. The Nick DeGiulio Show continues right here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline Studio here till 4 a.m. We're going to get a live report from the Sundance Film Festival with Steve Procopi and Eric Childress. We are also going to talk about TV reboots that we don't need. And Chance the Rapper is going to host another version of Punk'd. And what were you going to say?
Oh, I just said it sounds awesome.
Yeah, I know. I love Punk'd. I watch that show all the time. And by the way, the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And joining me here in studio is Marnie Shore, who is with The Takeout. Check out thetakeout.com. We've been talking about some food stuff, and we did an oat milk taste test. And we got a 708 area code sent in this text. I'm lactose intolerant, and I prefer a plant-based milk called Ripple.
Ripple?
I know a different kind of Ripple. It's not milk, I can tell you that much. It's made with split yellow peas and has a mouth feel closer to the real milk than most options. It's great on cereal and particularly good in baking.
Wow. I would definitely try that.
Ripple.
Huh.
Make sure you get the right Ripple.
Right, in the right aisle.
Yeah, you don't want to try. You don't want to pour that other kind of ripple on your cereal. That's not going to work. We work for Fred Sanford.
Ripple.
Yeah,
I'll have to write that down.
All right, there it is. All right. Okay. So there's a story that that I have to get to here. The headline is: Men are using their testicles to taste soy sauce. Can you explain?
Unfortunately, I can explain. So there's this app called TikTok.
Yes.
And the teens love it. And on TikTok, some rumors were circulating that it was citing some dubious scientific article. They were saying that if you perform that action by dipping your testicles in soy sauce, that you will be able to taste the soy sauce, because the science being that you have the same sorts of taste buds down there as you do in your mouth. And so people were trying this and filming the results for TikTok. Now, that science is totally, well, there's technically a sense to it in that you do have the same sorts of pores in your testicles that exist on your tongue, and so you can call them both taste buds. However, the relationship between the taste buds in your mouth, they work with your brain in a different way. And that's, you know, that's why we can taste this oat milk and say, like, oh, here's this flavor, because it's being sent to your brain in this very particular way.
Yeah.
The taste buds of the testes do not. They just kind of absorb this and you know, don't really send anything interesting to the brain about it. But people were so insistent that they could taste the soy sauce. It was probably just, you know, the power of suggestion.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very sorry that all of that just had to be explained.
Have they tried it with anything else other than soy sauce? Are people just...
I certainly hope not.
Dipping their testicles in all kinds of food? I don't...
Hopefully nothing spicy.
Oh, man. Okay. So TikTok, yeah, that's quite the app.
A new frontier.
Yeah. Wow. People will do anything, won't they?
Well, not only that, but our writer Allison Robicelli actually solicited her husband's experimentation in this regard and asked him to do this just to make sure, in the name of journalism.
And what was the result?
Could not taste the soy sauce.
Could not taste the soy sauce.
I wonder how that conversation went. Hey, honey. Yeah. Just got a little bowl of soy sauce. I'm going to need you to disrobe.
Can you dip your testicles in the soy sauce, please? I don't know how many times I've been asked that.
It's dedication.
Is it my birthday already? Yeah. All right.
I was going to try it with the oat milk earlier.
I mean, you just got to make sure not to do anything spicy or anything cold.
Where do you find a story like this? How?
Oh, stories come from all over the place. Twitter is a big place, of course, for stories to fly around a mile a minute. Google will have some very interesting stories pop up about food every day.
Mm-hmm.
And and then, you know, word of mouth, we hear about certain things. You know, we know a lot of people on TikTok, and they were saying, have you heard about this? Have you seen this going around? And up until that point, I blissfully had not, but...
But now you're painfully aware of it.
Agreed.
Yeah. My God. Well, what are some of the other crazier stories that you guys have been covering a little bit lately?
Oh, gosh. Crazy stories. Well, earlier this year, there was an art gallery show where someone had duct taped a banana to a wall.
Ah, yes.
And called it art.
Yep.
Followed then by other things that were being duct taped to walls and being called art, namely the Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty fun saga to cover, because then, of course, they were taken down from the wall and eaten.
Yes.
So now is it art or is it just lunch?
Right.
That was a fun one.
I remember that story. I remember the banana duct taped to the wall story.
Yeah.
I just found it. And I also thought it was hilarious that they did that to the Popeye's chicken.
Oh, yeah. It was a great marketing opportunity all around.
Yeah. Oh, like they needed to market that more.
Ugh, agreed. Yeah. Taking it into the new year with even more viral marketing.
Yeah. 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 Boy, that was, you know, people punching each other in the face for that chicken sandwich and everything.
It's good, but my God, it's not that good.
No, it's not that good. It's not.
Nothing's that good.
No, No. But anyway, so yeah, so you find some unusual stuff out there that you guys cover.
We definitely do.
All right, what about this one now? A San Francisco hotel is threatening slow eaters with a $30 fine.
Yes.
What's going on here?
So luckily, this appears to only be a limited time, but there was a JPMorgan Chase conference happening at this hotel in San Francisco. And so the hotel was just packed to the gills mm-hmm. with guests and tourists and visitors. And so if you took more than 90 minutes to eat your breakfast, you would be slapped with a $30 fine. And your bill would go up for each additional hour that you were sitting there. Now, the breakfast at this hotel is already fabulously expensive.
Yeah.
It's just a nice hotel. And so you could be walking out of there with an easily three-digit bill for breakfast just by sitting there too long. And the restaurant had, you know, a comment on it, and they basically said it's a crowd control measure. But, you know, a lot of people just think that, hey, who on earth would even go to breakfast at this place if they had a chance of racking up a fine?
Yeah. So are you a slow eater?
I am the fastest eater on the planet.
Really?
I eat like I haven't had a meal in days.
How about you, Tom?
It kind of depends. You know, I typically, if I'm really enjoying something, I feel the urge to eat quite quickly. But I've tried to slow myself down because usually you don't feel great afterward if you eat something real quick. And it's sometimes a more satisfying experience, especially like if you're going somewhere nice, go to like a steakhouse or getting a really nice dinner. You want to savor that, especially with that big price tag at the end.
That's for sure.
Yeah. I think I'm an average eater in terms of like speed.
It's more healthy. Like the slower you eat, the healthier it is.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah. I guess I'm just an average eater. I don't shovel stuff down really quickly or anything like that. It's the Nick DiGiulio Show here on 720 WGN, and we're live in the Skyline Studio, and Marnie Shure is here. What else have you guys been working on?
Well, starting this week at The Takeout, we're doing Tropical Staycation. So we're bringing, you know, it's the doldrums of winter. Nothing much is happening for a while, but it's still cold and gross out.
Yeah.
So we are doing a tropical week, and it's going to have island-inspired recipes and articles about the flavors of much warmer climates. So it's going to like be a taste of vacation in the middle of January.
Oh, that's February. Nice. February. Yeah. we're getting close to
almost.
February. It's almost here. Okay. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. You can also read about the oat milk taste test that you guys did. We were talking about that Reynolds Wrap harness, men using their testicles to taste soy sauce. All of that great stuff is available here. And you can check it all out at The Takeout. Marnie, always a pleasure
to have you in.
We'll get you down again soon. Next time you guys do it to another taste test, we'll get you in here.
We'll bring a wheelbarrow full of Hot Pockets.
Again, I was not aware that there were 25 different versions of the Hot Pocket.
And
even
counting.
More. And counting. Wow. I just keep thinking ham and cheese. That's the only one. Marnie, always a pleasure.
Yes, thank you so much.
Okay, Marnie Shure from The Takeout, editor-in-chief. And we're going to continue with the news.